Good evening to each one. We're thankful to be back in Winnipeg after being away for a few years and glad that the Lord has been able to allow us to navigate the travel waters of the current situations and to be back with you and to get through the quarantine and not have to see the inside of my parents' place for a few more weeks. So good to be with you and to see familiar faces and trust that the Word of God will be able to be of benefit to each one of our souls tonight. We're going to turn and just read a few verses in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, please. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. And we'll read from verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And that's all we're going to read this evening, and trust the Lord will bless what has been read before us tonight. Looking over our audience tonight, we would trust that each one of us would be familiar with the gospel application that would come from verse 28. That rest of salvation, the great burden of sin removed, the invitation to come. And for many, maybe even some in our audience tonight, this might have been the verse that God used to bring before you the need of your soul salvation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The great need for a Savior. And again, I think we would all have to say tonight, those of us that have come to him, that in coming, we would say that there has been no disappointment. No disappointment in the fact of responding to the invitation that has come before us. The invitation of the Savior. The burden of sin lifted in its entirety. Nothing remained. That activity that we may have tried before our salvation of seeking to be right with God. And it ceased because we found rest. We found peace. And God has granted it to us. God has granted the rest and peace of salvation. It speaks of refreshment. The invitation to a person, the Son of God. And we notice here in verse 28, it is him, and I will give you rest, the one who bestows the rest. And I trust tonight that none of us here have put off the call, have put off the invitation. It's that present possession, that enjoyment that we can have. And so the call of the Savior goes out tonight to each one. And so verse 28 then is the call, it's the appeal of the Savior to the unbeliever, to the sinner. But like other places in the Scripture, and so it is the same here in Matthew chapter 28, Christian life does not begin and end just in verse 28. Most certainly it begins in verse 28. We cannot please God in our sins. There is that rest and peace with God that is an absolute requirement for each one of us. But I trust you have noticed in your reading that second rest, the second mention of rest that we find in Matthew and chapter 11. It is the call for the disciple. And maybe we'd be surprised to recognize that there is a rest associated with being a disciple. It is a rest for the soul. It is a satisfaction of the longing of the heart, a satisfaction and the meaning and purpose that God has given and desired we might have. And so there is this rest. I would judge that there can be nothing worse than an empty life. And as you would witness to others and speak to the unsaved, and do we not preach it often in the gospel? Nothing worse than an empty life. To be in our sins without Christ. And it's true. And the sinner has nothing before them but destruction, but the wrath of God to abide upon them. The pleasures of sin for a season, they're only for a short time. And I trust we all know it is to sing heartily, "Now none but Christ can satisfy. There's none other name for me, there's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in thee." And I trust we believe it. And I'm sure if you had your masks off, I could see you all smiling. Well, just by the way, this is the first time in 18 months I've preached without a mask, and so I'm feeling a little strange. In St. Lucia, yeah, the mask is required whether you're speaking or not. So if you see me going like this, you'll know why. But there is a rest, there is a satisfaction that is found in salvation for the sinner. But what about the empty life of a believer? What about the empty life of a Christian? It's absolutely not what God intended, what God had planned for each one. And here in chapter 11 and verse 29, we're going to see that being a disciple is the intention, is a desire that God has for you and for me. It simply means there's going to be training. There's going to be learning. You remember, it's what, future to chapter 11, it's what the Lord is going to tell his disciples at the end of the book. Those 11 that were his followers. And he's going to speak to them there in Matthew 28, preaching the gospel, teaching, making disciples. I was thinking of the examples that we have of various individuals in our scriptures. I'm thinking of the words of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 as he's going to Jerusalem. And he could say, "None of these things move me." He could say, "So that I might finish my course with joy." In the next chapter, he's going to say, "Why are you weeping?" He says, "I'm not only ready to be bound, I'm ready also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Remember his words to Timothy? He could say at the end of his life there, "I'm now ready to be offered. Fought a good fight, finished my course." I was thinking again of the words of the Apostle Peter, as he could say, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." You see, these ones knew what it was to be a follower. And right through their life, there was this intention, this recognition of God's plan and God's desire for them. And so the simple question this evening that I want to just look very simply at from verse 29 is this: am I a disciple? Are you? Maybe you've heard fairly often, as I have, about discipleship. And that's good. But maybe with that focus, the focus is taken off of myself a little bit. As the question becomes, I think, a little more personal, if we ask it, am I a disciple? I'm not asking if we're saved, if you're a believer, if you're enjoying things of the Lord. I'm asking a disciple. Because there is a promise of a rest, this second rest of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. It's a promise to a disciple. And it comes with instructions for us, as we'll notice. And just as we would tell an unsaved person from verse 28 of the necessity and the singleness of the command of God and the desire and the call of the Lord, we see as well there is a singleness that we find throughout verse 29. It's being a disciple. It's just one way. And we are called to be yoked with him. Joined with him, and to learn. And amazingly, in this, we find rest. Rest in being yoked with him. You'll notice that it's rest that is given. It is bestowed in verse 28. But in verse 29, it is a rest that is found. A rest is found. It is, we might say, the outcome of being a disciple. And so when there is those times of searching, those times of longing, and of seeking after the purpose and the desire of God, I trust we can turn to verses such as this here in Matthew 11 and 29 and recognize God's intention for you and for me. And so there is this attention to the words of our Lord Jesus. From then, the call of salvation, or to salvation in verse 28, It is a call to service in verse 29. We would say from Romans chapter 5, it is peace with God from verse 28. Whereas in verse 29, it is the peace of God that we find there in Colossians chapter 3 and relate to verse 29. I want us to notice in our remaining 15 minutes the three words that are, I trust we can highlight in our minds from verse 29. Three words that are going to, I trust, open up God's desire for each one of us. And it is these: take, learn, find. Take, it points us to a decision. Learn, it points us to a discovery. Find, to a development. Find, it points us to a discovery. And so when we think of salvation, there is a personal responsibility for each one to recognize their need for a Savior. And so it is now when we come to verse 29 in the service as a disciple. The call there, the beginning of verse 29, take. Take. Personal. Individual to each one of us. And the Lord now is going to move on to describe for us that yoke, that farming implement that was going to put two animals side by side, put them in close proximity to each other, that they might be able to work in tandem, work together. There was going to be a learning. There was going to be a working together. And I trust you'll notice that this is a decision that is not automatic at salvation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. It is that wonderful promise, right, of rest that we did nothing for but receive. But the next word is going to say, take. And that points you and I to a decision. I wonder tonight, and maybe it's not a good thing to wonder, how many of those that have passed and appreciated verse 28, I have actually known what it means to go into the harness of verse 29, to be yoked with Christ. Laborers together, the apostle is going to speak to us later in the New Testament. Laborers together with Christ. And so I must ask myself then, first of all, have I heeded the call to take? We recognize, of course, that God does not need us in the sense that he is lacking anything at all. Absolutely not. But his desire is there would be those who would be next to him, to make that choice of following, to make that choice following receiving rest, salvation rest, to desire to be yoked with him. And so the first thing we learn of God's plans, God's intention for each one, each believer, is that they would make that decision. The first thing we learn of being a disciple is that it requires a decision from you and I to put on the yoke. But is there a greater privilege than to be yoked with him? You know, we speak often, and we might hear often, and we're warned often about entering into an unequal yoke. That's absolutely true. We can't have the things of our God, the things of the Lord, mixed with the things of the devil, mixed with the things of this world. Absolutely. And yet, I find it an amazing truth that the Lord is willing to be yoked with me. Willing to be yoked with you. And yet it's not automatic at salvation. Verse 29 gives us a clear instruction: we must take. And this should then melt away any fears, any concerns that we may have, any hesitation, any delay. Of course, just sinners saved by grace, saved by the grace of God and brought into fellowship with him. And the Lord says, take my yoke upon you. A decision that is required. A decision to surrender our lives to him. And we think of the word take in relation to being a disciple. You might link over that first part of the verse. It is the call and the choice of being a disciple. Take. It is a call and a choice. Moving quickly then to that next phrase, the Lord continues and says to these ones, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And so we're brought now quickly then to a development that is required in every individual. It's not going to be just the taking of that yoke, but there is a development that God desires, that God expects, that God seeks. In verse 27, where I started reading this evening, the Lord there is going to state the truth of the oneness of the Father and the Son. Only the Son knows the Father. Only the Father knows the Son. But again, amazingly, that which was exclusive only to the Godhead now is going to be expanded out. The Son is expanding that outward. Look at the end of the verse. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. There is this expansion out of the knowledge, that which was of God and of the Godhead. And so there is this revealing from the Son. There is a learning for each one of us. And the Lord is going to reveal himself to his people. A learning, a development in being yoked together with him. In being a disciple, in being a follower, you may ask, well, what are we learning? We're learning of me. We're learning of divine things. We're learning of that which the Son is going to reveal. Those things that are eternal. Those things that are infinite. The things that the Father and the Son know between themselves and know of themselves. There is a measure in which there's going to be this revealing to others as well. A learning, a development that is going to evoke worship in each one of our hearts. And in this yoke, I trust we recognize there is a liberty that God has brought us into. That's Galatians chapter 5. That liberty, of course, not to live as we please, but it is the liberty to become like Christ. The ability, the freedom, the joy of becoming like him. And here in this verse, the Lord is going to just bring out two features of himself there. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Just two of the many characteristics of the Savior that are going to be needful for us to learn and to develop in as we are ones who have taken, ones who are learning and developing. To be like him, together in a yoke, as we see verse 30, that is easy and the burden that is light, doing his will as he calls, where he leads. Oh, I trust we're not going to be like those stubborn animals that twist and turn in the yoke. But a learning and a development. The yoke is a place of learning. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Maybe we would think that we would have thought that the Lord would have said, take my yoke upon you and labor for me. Take my yoke upon you and put your back into the work. Oh, that's going to be required. We'll see it next, yes. But there is, first of all, a learning of me that is required. Learning divine truths. A development in the things of God. And here, when we think of the word learn in relation to a disciple, it's really the claim and the cost of being a disciple. Unconditional surrender in a personal devotion to him. Oh, you can say this evening, I am glad I am found in verse 28, sins forgiven, the burden of sin removed. Oh, I'll take my place as one who has taken that yoke. It's good. We've responded, as it were, to the call and the choice of being a disciple. But again, speaking to myself, what of the claim? What of the cost of being a disciple? Learning of him. Just in closing tonight, the end of the verse, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. This rest, then, that is the true secret of service to our heavenly King. We're not going to find this rest in pleasing others or in pleasing ourselves. We're not going to find it in frantic amounts of activity. Oh, yes, there's laboring. There's work to be done. It's going to be a requirement to be spent in the Master's use. It's going to be the need to put our weight, spiritually speaking, into the yoke with Him. Let us recognize that it's only that which has been done in the yoke with Him where we're going to find rest. It's only that which, where we have followed through in what the Scripture has shown to us in the words of our Lord Jesus. That which is done in yoke with Him, in closeness to Him. That which is done in learning of Him. If you just turn over to chapter 12 for a moment and verse 43, you're going to find the very same word rest as you find at the end of verse 29. Chapter 12 and verse 43, what do we read? When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, finding none. What does that tell us? It teaches us that there is no rest for the wicked. There is no rest found in the activities associated with the things of this world. No satisfaction with the things that are associated in that regard. This present world, this present evil world. But it is only that which is found having taken the yoke, having learned of me. And the Scripture says you will find rest unto your souls. The assurance of the type of yoke, of course, I mentioned already, verse 30. The yoke is easy. The burden is light. The Lord will not move us beyond that which He gives us the grace and the ability to bear and the ability to be in service to Him. The way of service is a way of rest and satisfaction. The disciple, they're yoked together with Christ. What a discovery. A discovery that in that place, occupied in that manner, and the promise is this, what a discovery. You're going to find rest unto your souls. The disciple, yoked together with Christ, finding rest in being a disciple. May these truths then quiet our hearts this evening. It's going to require, I believe, a time of reflection for all of us to be in the presence of God. Oh, I know we appreciate verse 28. Where am I in verse 29? Am I a disciple? Have I chosen that yoke? Am I learning of Him? Am I enjoying that rest, that satisfaction that can only come having followed through in that manner before Him? It's only found in being a disciple. If we were to link the word take with the call and the choice of being a disciple, and the word learn with the words of the claim and the cost of being a disciple, I think I would link the word find with the crown of being a disciple. You say, well, that's a new one. Where do you find that? Well, I was thinking of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Just follow my thinking in this manner. If in the life of the believer there has been a following, if in the life of the believer there has been learning, if in the life of that believer there has been a finding, and I would judge, no doubt, in that very same believer, there's going to be a longing for the Lord's return. Why? The Apostle Paul says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Not to me only, but to all them that love is appearing. It's the follower looking for his leader. It is the disciple seeking for the return of the Master. You know, it's been 2 years since I've been here at Parkview. And the last time I spoke on this pulpit, it was for Grandma Nolde's funeral. I remember I had the privilege of reading out some memories from the grandchildren. And I'm not sure which grandchild it was, but what they had remembered was this. Over the sink of Grandma Knowles' house there on Oakdean Boulevard was a little picture that was embroidered, I believe, with just two words on it. It was the words, "Maybe today." Maybe today. And so, dear believer, tonight we think of these exhortation here. And I trust it's a challenge to my soul and to yours. The challenge of what it means to be a disciple. Take. Learn. Find. And there's going to be a longing for the Savior. Oh yes, we have to be occupied here. Occupied till he come. The words in the parable there, of course. But a longing for his return. And as that little phrase there above Grandma's sink. Maybe today. Maybe tonight. God help us then to spend time in the presence of our Lord. Not just doing the same things over and over, as it were, just thinking of the idea of old, tired out oxen, plodding away, wishing that life would just end and that there'd be something else maybe exciting to do. No. It's never God's intention for his children. It's the intention of being a disciple. There's a decision. There is development. There's a discovery that is put before us all. And maybe I'll be honest before God with this question. Am I a disciple? Am I in the yoke? Have I learned in that yoke? Learned of him? Am I finding the rest that has been promised? May God bless his word.